Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Wednesday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today I'm continuing a series that I started over a week ago talking about the Word became flesh. This is actually a five-part teaching here we have in CD form as well as two different DVD versions. And it's usually a five-week teaching for me on television, but I'm just doing some of the highlights. And I'll actually be finishing up this series this coming Friday on Christmas Day. So I'd like to encourage you to please get the materials that we've been offering on this. I think that this teaching on the Word became flesh is just foundational for understanding how the kingdom of God works. We've been basically talking about the virgin birth of Jesus, which of course around Christmas time, it seems like everybody talks about the miracle of Jesus coming to this earth. But we've been trying to go deeper and see some things that most people don't talk about during this Christmas season. In a nutshell, I've basically said that God bound himself by his word when he created us with words and gave us dominion over this earth. And so when man messed everything up and gave this dominion to the devil, the reason that it took 4,000 years for Jesus to come to the earth is because of the integrity of God. He wouldn't violate his word. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 28, he gave man dominion over this earth. And even though we use that dominion incorrectly and contrary to what he wanted, he wouldn't come and operate contrary to us, outside of what he had said. So he had to just speak through people. And it took 4,000 years and many, many different people for God to find enough people that would speak everything that needed to happen. And God set down laws that you can't have a garden without planting seed. You can't have a child without planting a seed. And even with Mary, she really didn't violate that law. It just wasn't a man that planted the seed. God's word became the seed. All of these prophecies that God had painstakingly been speaking through people over a 4,000-year period of time. The angel Gabriel came and gave a proposal to Mary and asked, would she accept this? And she humbled herself and received the word, said, so be it unto me according to thy word. And when she did that, the Holy Spirit took these words that had been spoken by prophets under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and the Word became flesh. The Word literally became the sperm that allowed Mary to conceive Jesus and give birth to Jesus. Now that's powerful to me because it shows that even God himself will not violate his laws. He won't work outside of them. When he tells you something, like when he says, you lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. You know, if you don't lay hands on the sick, they aren't going to recover, even though it's God's will for them to recover. God flows through us. You know, a scripture that people often misquote, they don't finish the whole verse, is Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. And it says, now unto him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think. And they just put a period right there. And they say, God can do anything. You know, that's not true. Now, it is true that God is almighty and he has the power to do anything, but it is not true that he will do anything because the rest of that verse, let me go back and quote it again and put the rest of the verse with it. It says, now unto him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. If you don't let that power of God work in you, if you don't take your authority and speak in faith, then you limit what God can do. And I referred to this last week, but Psalms chapter 78, verse 41 says that they limited the Holy One of Israel. The Israelites, when they came out of the land of Egypt, God didn't want them to spend 40 years in the wilderness, but when he told them to go in and conquer the land, they couldn't believe him. They operated in unbelief, and it limited the Holy One of Israel. Here's another verse that makes that same point out of Deuteronomy chapter 7. Once again, it's talking about the Israelites. And the Lord in Deuteronomy chapter 7 promised them that nobody would be able to stand before them, that they would defeat all of their enemies. And he gave them all of these positive promises, told them what would happen. But then he said this in Deuteronomy 7:17, "If you shall say in your heart, 'These nations are more than I, how can I dispossess them?'" You know, I used to read that as, if you say in your heart, "These nations are more than I, how can I dispossess them?" That those people were saying all of that. But then, if you read it that way, there isn't any answer to this. There's a question mark at the end of that sentence, and there's no answer to this. It wouldn't be connected. He goes on to say in the next verse, "Thou shalt not be afraid of them, but shalt well remember that the Lord thy God did unto Pharaoh and unto all Egypt," etc. You know, what I've come to realize is that here's what the Lord is saying. He says to these Israelites, he'd given them these promises of nothing but victory. And then he says, "But if you say in your heart, 'These nations are more than I,' then how can I, God, dispossess them? How can I fulfill my promise to you if you don't continue in faith? If you get into unbelief, you can limit the Holy One of Israel." And that's exactly what Psalms chapter 78, verse 41 says. So you put that together with Ephesians 3:20, God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think, but it's according to the power that works in us. And this is just a new revelation to a lot of people. They think, no, God can do anything. Well, God has the power, but He will never violate His word. He didn't violate His commands. He didn't violate the laws that He created when Jesus came to the earth. That's why it took 4,000 years for that prophecy that was given in Genesis 3:15 to come to pass. It's because God has integrity. God will not violate His word. He said, "You have dominion. You're the one that's ruling this. It's not going to get done unless you do it." God did not circumvent those laws. He didn't make an exception even for His own Son coming to this earth. He followed the laws that He created. And you know what? It's going to be the same thing with you and me. Even if you are dying of some disease, God loves you. He does not want you to die, but He gave you authority and power over all sickness and over all disease and over all demons to cast them out. Matthew chapter 10, verse 1. He gave you that authority. And if it's going to be exercised, you have to exercise it. God's not going to do it for you. Now, it's not you doing it without Him. I admit that. You on your own can't heal anybody. But the good news is, you aren't on your own. If you've been born again, you now have the raising from the dead power of God on the inside of you, but it's not going to be released by you begging God to do it and pleading with God and trying to play on His pity and His mercy. He's already shown pity and mercy when He brought Jesus to this earth and paid for everything and defeated sickness and the devil. It's done. But He gave you that authority. He gave me that authority and power. And if we are going to see it manifest, we have to take a step of faith and step out and resist the devil, and he will flee from us. The devil is not fleeing directly from God. Jesus and the devil already meant Jesus won. There is no competition. Satan can't stand before God. Jesus beat him hands down. But now you and I are a part of this mix. You and I now have been given the authority and the power of God. And if we don't take our authority and resist the devil, he won't flee. You know, I heard Kenneth Hagin one time give a testimony about how he saw a vision of the Lord, and the Lord was talking to him and giving him instruction about something. And this demon ran in between them and started making noise and jumping up and down. And he couldn't see the Lord because the demon was in front of him. He was having trouble hearing what the Lord was saying and thinking he might be missing some of it. And he kept wondering why the Lord allowed this to happen. And finally, he just got mad. And I mean, he stomped his foot and said, "Get out of here in the name of Jesus." And phew, this little demon was gone. And the Lord looked at him and says, "If you hadn't have done that, I couldn't have." Not because God doesn't have the power, but because God is a God of integrity and He won't violate His word. And James 4:7 says, "Resist the devil." You resist the devil, and he will flee from you. You have to take your authority and power. I tell you, this is so powerful, and it's amazing how people don't understand this. And they're just praying and thinking, well, God could solve this situation. God could turn my children's heart around and just make them serve God. In a sense, people are praying the same thing when they're praying for revival. They're just praying that God will force people to serve Him, that God will just change people's hearts. That's not how God is. You know how revival comes? It's by you receiving what God has already done for you. And as you begin to start walking in the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit, miracles will happen. Blind eyes will open. Deaf ears will open. People will be raised from the dead. You'll have a love and a compassion that is not just human. And people will be drawn to it. And it'll begin to spread like wildfire. But instead of people, see, taking their authority and standing up and speaking and being the salt of the earth and speaking out against social injustices and saying the truth of the Word of God, many Christians have gotten to where they're afraid to violate. They're afraid they're going to offend somebody. And so they just spend their time in their closet asking God to pour out His power. That's like a person who will not plant a seed, and yet they're praying for an abundant harvest and a beautiful garden and all of this fruit and things to come out of. It doesn't happen that way. You can pray in your closet all you want to, but you aren't going to see the power of God manifest until you take the seed of the Word of God and release it and take your authority and use it. When Jesus came to this earth, God was bound by those same laws that we're talking about. And if God wouldn't violate that to bring His Son into physical manifestation, a body for Jesus to inhabit, well, then He's not going to violate it for you, regardless of how desperate your situation is. You need to take the Word of God and put it in your heart and conceive a miracle. Give it time and let it give birth. And that right there is a mouthful. And this is the reason that so many people aren't walking in the supernatural power of God, because they do not take the Word of God and protect it. You know, I was making a lot of these comparisons yesterday between when a woman gets pregnant and gives birth, and I was talking about, in a sense, it's like we have a spiritual womb and we go through similar processes. One of the things that happens when a woman gets pregnant is that it affects the way that she does everything. She begins to start taking care of herself. And sometimes if there's a problem with the pregnancy, women will lay flat on their back, they'll do whatever, but they protect that seed. They protect that child. They give priority to it. Unlike that, most of us don't give very much priority to the Word of God. And if we do have some intimacy with the Word where maybe some type of conception takes place, most of us only stay there a brief period of time, 1 hour a week, 1 day a week. We have a 15-minute devotion a day, and then the rest of the time we are just doing things that are totally detrimental to that seed springing up and producing. You could go over to the 4th chapter of the book of Mark and see the parable about the sower sowing the seed. And there were 4 types of ground there. Each one of them had potential for producing, but there were things. There were rocks, there were thorns, there were things like this that choked the Word. And the only person that brought forth fruit and brought it to perfection were people that gave a priority to the Word and stood against all of these things in the tribulations and persecutions that came to steal away the Word. And there's just not very many people giving that kind of priority to the Word. And because of it, not very many people are giving birth to these miracles. But I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, the things I'm talking about are so simple, you got to have somebody to help you to misunderstand them. This isn't hard. I have a lot of people tell me that one of the reasons they like the teaching is because I make it so simple. This is really, really simple, the things I'm saying. But it does place responsibility upon us. It does mean that you can't just live a totally carnal life and then when you're in a crisis situation, cry and just expect God to come through. It doesn't work that way. You know, I actually knew a man one time. Some of you will think I made this up, but this actually happened. I could give you the guy's name. And this guy got born again. He had been the worst sinner in the entire county. And when he got born again, he got so excited and so turned on. He got on the full gospel businessman circuit. He started traveling and giving his testimony. And he was a rancher, a farmer. And he owned sections of land. They didn't count their land in acres. They counted it in sections. There's 640 acres in one section. And he owned multiple sections of land. But he didn't have time to plant his seed, his wheat harvest, when you were supposed to do it, because he was out giving testimony for the Lord. So he just assumed that God would take care of him. And it came to about, I think, a week or maybe it was a month, but it was just very short before wheat harvest. Everybody else's wheat was already up and it was beginning to, you know, ripen and just about ready for harvest. And he went out and borrowed $500,000 and planted wheat a week or a month before the wheat harvest was due, because he just assumed that he had been out doing what God told him to do and God would take care of it. But there is a law of seed and then time and then harvest, and it just doesn't fluctuate. You can't cheat that system. You just have to learn to live with it. And people hear a story like that. And of course, this guy's crop did not come up, and he then was in debt for $500,000, and he had creditors coming against him, and he came to me and asked me to pray for him. And when I started asking what had happened, he told me all of this, and I said, man, that's just stupid. And he says, but I was out giving my testimony, and I thought God would just give me a supernatural harvest. No, there are laws. It just takes time. You have to plant the seed at the right time. You can't plant the night before harvest. And see, there are some people, I'm not saying this to be hard on you. I'm not against that guy. The guy meant good. He was sincere, but he was sincerely wrong. There are many of you that are sincere, but you're sincerely wrong. You are just living carnally. You don't take the Word of God. You don't meditate in it. You are watching stuff that is contrary to the Word of God. You are reading things. You're indulging yourself in ways that you shouldn't. And then when you come into a crisis situation, you just pray and expect a miracle like that. And if it doesn't happen, then you get upset. And God, why didn't you come through? And you've totally missed these truths that I've been painstakingly trying to explain for the last week and a half, that there are laws that even God Himself operates by. And you have to conceive something. You have to give it time to germinate. And then there's a birth that takes place. And many of you, if you have just been living carnally, and if you haven't been seeking God, it's going to be a while before you start seeing the miracles of God. If you started the Word today and started meditating in it day and night and doing all of these things, it's going to take a while for things to turn around. What do you do if you're in a crisis right now? You better run next door to somebody else who has been taking the Word of God and putting it in their heart, and you're going to have to eat some of their crop for a while. You're going to have to let them give birth to your miracle through the things that they've sown in their heart. But that's a short-term solution. Long-term, you need to learn how the Word becomes flesh. The same way that Jesus, the physical body of Jesus, was prepared by God speaking these prophecies over a long period of time and then entering into the womb of Mary. There were natural things that God followed, laws that He created. Likewise, there are spiritual laws that you and I are under. God is obligated to these. He's bound by them because He's the one that created them, and He cannot break His own word. And He's not just going to intervene in your life without some power working on the inside of you. Again, I refer back to that verse I've already used, Ephesians 3:20. It's according to the power that works in us. Sure, God's able to do exceeding abundantly above anything we could ask or think, but it is bound to, it is tied to the power that works in us. If you aren't trusting God, if you haven't taken the Word, if the Word isn't working in your life, you are going to limit the Holy One of Israel, Psalm 78:41. I know some of you don't like what I'm saying at all, because this puts responsibility on you. It means that you can't just sit in front of the television and vegetate and watch X-rated movies and junk all of the time and never seek God. And there's many of you that don't like that. But you know what? I'm telling the truth. This is how the kingdom works. And this had a major impact on me when I understood the things that I've been telling you, and I saw that God Himself bound Himself to the rules and the laws that He created. And when I saw that, I thought, man, how in the world could I expect to receive without doing this? So So now when I need a healing in my body, what I do is I go to the Word of God and I take scriptures that promise healing. If I need a financial miracle, I go to the Word of God and I take those scriptures that talk about God supplying my needs, and I meditate on them until something happens and it comes alive on the inside of me, and I know that I've conceived something. And even after I have that excitement and that confidence and that knowing on the inside, I still continue to meditate on it. And then eventually, something will happen. And, you know, I gave this testimony, I think it was yesterday, about a man coming to our Bible school who talked on prosperity. And I mean, boom, just like that, I got a revelation. I was transformed. And miracles started happening and things changed. And people look at that and think, well, boy, I want that to happen. Let's have this man come to my church. Let's have him speak. But what you're missing is for 2 years I had been planting this seed and meditating it. And there's a reason why it had an impact on me. There were other people that heard the exact same words come out of his mouth that I did. And they didn't have the experience with the Lord that I had. It didn't change them the way it changed me. There's a reason why that word, all of it. See, we just look at the end results and we think, man, wasn't that simple? That's like looking at a woman when she has a baby, and if she goes through a 2 or 3 hour labor, even though maybe she had some pain and some problems right then, you say, well, it was only 3 hours. How bad could that be? It wasn't 3 hours, amen. It was 9 months. That may have been the culmination of it, but you can't tell that woman that all it takes is 3 hours to have a baby. I guarantee you, they go through a lot over a long period of time. People see some of the things that happen in my life and they see these things and they think, well, man, I want that to happen. And they don't realize that I have spent months and months and years meditating in the Word. And there's a reason why I'm getting the results that I'm getting. Brothers and sisters, I'm saying that the Word, the written Word, has to become spirit and life and enter into your heart. And when you do that, it will produce the physical results that you desire. But there is a process here. The Word becomes flesh. It took a process for God. It's going to take a process for you. Some of you are disheartened by that because you just want instant things. We have instant everything today and you're wanting your instant miracle. But I'm just telling you, you can't microwave a miracle. The stork doesn't bring miracles. You're going to have to conceive it. Now, you might be able to bootleg a miracle off of somebody else's prayer. And God does do those things occasionally because He loves you and stuff. And there are people that He's raised up. But I'm saying the vast majority of the time with most of us, the reason we aren't receiving is because we haven't done what God did to produce that miracle of His Son coming to the earth. We haven't done what a lot of other people that we're hearing their testimonies. We're just wanting some kind of a birth without any conception and without bearing that thing for any length of time. That is not the way that God's intended for the kingdom to work. The Word has to become flesh. You got to plant that seed in your heart. And if you'll do it, the good news is, some of you are thinking, but you're talking about taking time. But the good news is, this is an incorruptible seed. There will never be such a thing as a miscarriage in the spiritual realm. If you will meditate upon these things, it'll work. It's just a matter of time. And after a period of time, time's actually on your side instead of against you. It's working for you instead of against you. Man, there is so much more I'd like to say. I'm going to have to continue this on our program tomorrow. But I really believe that this teaching on the Word becoming flesh to you is really important. So please request these materials. We have CDs as well as 2 different DVD sets on it. Listen, our announcer will give you that information. And then join me again tomorrow for the Gospel Truth.
Andrew's complete teaching titled, The Word Became Flesh, was recorded live at a recent Gospel Truth seminar. It's available on either CD or DVD. Each is available for a gift of any amount. Request item T1057C for the CD or T3202D for the DVD. Or you can get the original 5-part DVD as seen on TV for a gift of any amount. Request item T1057D when you contact us. This series is also available for audio download absolutely free on our website. Go to awmi.net and click on Audio Teachings on the left-hand side of the page. The third teaching in the Word Became Flesh series is available on CD for a gift of any amount. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will send this third CD free of charge when you write or call. We'd also like to remind you that Andrew's latest book, titled Living in the Balance of Grace and Faith, is available in hardback for a gift of any amount. Request book T228. You can use your credit card to order resources by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. If the lines are busy, you can visit our website where you can order ministry materials 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. To write us, use the address on your screen. Canadian viewers can now make tax-deductible donations through Andrew Womack Ministries Canada. That address is also on your screen. The generous gifts of our friends and partners help Andrew bring the almost too good to be true news of the gospel into countless homes every day. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today.
You know, I know that many of you are understanding the importance of the things that I'm saying. I'm sure that many of you have recognized this and you've seen the Word of God produce in your life. And what I'm sharing, I believe, is just vital. I'm trying to reach as far with it as I can, but there's so much more we want to do. We need to actually triple or quadruple the amount of money we're spending on television and radio time to be able to reach all of the people that God has made available through Christian television stations and all of the different networks. So I'd like to ask you that if you are in agreement and if you're receiving from this, I'd like to ask you to pray about becoming a partner with us. We wouldn't be broadcasting to you if it wasn't for other people that have helped me. I would like to ask you to help me to reach another person. We have a number on your screen. I encourage you to pray about it and then become a partner today.
I'd like to thank all the partners that have been with Andrew even before I knew him. I came across Andrew in 2000, and I know that there were people that had been sowing into that ministry for decades before I ever heard about it. And so I thank God for them and their faithfulness in the early days, in the beginning, to put Andrew on radio, to allow him to print free tapes and to send those out to people, because it was through those partners and their giving generously that I heard Andrew on that radio station, and that my life's been changed. And I believe that the lives of people that I'll be able to impact will be changed through the same message.
We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events and let the Word of God transform your life. He'll be in Phoenix, Arizona for a Gospel Truth Seminar December 31st through January 2nd. He'll also be in Orlando, Florida for a Gospel Truth Seminar February 4th through the 6th.
I'd like to give you a special invitation to join me on December the 31st. That's, of course, New Year's Eve through January the 2nd. We're going to be back at the Biltmore Resort in Phoenix, Arizona. I tell you, if at all possible, I'd encourage you to come and be with us. Also, Charlie and Jill LeBlanc will be there with a live band. It's going to be a great time. Last year, we had over 1,000 people. We're expecting more this year. Plus, you get a special rate at the Biltmore, a reduced price of $139 per room, and they normally start around $300 up to $1,000. And that price is good for 3 days before or 3 days after. So come join us for our Phoenix Gospel Truth, December the 31st through January the 2nd.